Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 2, Sankhya Yoga, Yoga of Knowledge. We have first learned that we are immortal. Our self is immortal, but we consider ourselves to be mortal. And from that point onward, say, how do we live our life so that we can recognize their immortality? So our rishis were the great observers of life. Obviously, they did not have the supercomputers to compute things, or the super colliders to break open atom, or they did not have the laboratories to do all these experiments. So what they have done is basically studied the human behavior and human life thoroughly. And they understood what human life is all about. They didn't have anything more to observe outside for human life, so they studied themselves, their own inner self. That's where they came to the conclusion that in this world nothing exists on its own. There is no individual existence. As we know that my existence depends on the food which I get from this world outside. This body is nothing but the food modified. So my existence is connected to the existence outside of other things. They also notice that this existence doesn't remain same all the time. We continue to change the form and state of existence. What we see now is an effect. There is a cause for the effect as it exists. I myself have existed in many different states before, as we all know. A friend of mine who used to be my roommate in architecture school, we met after all these years. He was my third year architecture school roommate. Anil Jain's son was getting married. His fiancée was related to my friend. So he kept looking for him. He lives in Richmond. That man he knew. And he will pass by me, but obviously he couldn't recognize me. And he kept asking, is there somebody, Nilkanth Bhatt? There is Nilkanth Bhatt. So, oh, you are Nilkanth Bhatt. Because I existed in a completely different state. There are no gray hair. No glasses, no beard, young man, and 30 architect. So after all these years, even though I am same, I'm existing in a different state of existence. So this rishis recognize that things and beings exist in various states and continue to exist. Everything is connected and getting recycled. The standard example of in the water falls down as rain, becomes water vapor again during summertime, then temperature goes down, it becomes snow or ice, it melts. The cycle continues. The same water existing in various states, there is an immortality for that H2O. There is a mortality for the water, mortality for the ice, and mortality for the water vapor. But immortality for the ingredients which makes what it is. So they reckon the first thing is that we are immortal. Not the state we are in right now, but at the core of our being we are immortal. From that point onward, they say, so what is now the quest of life then? The quest of life is to be happy. All we want to do is be happy. They say that doesn't change from person to person. It's not that one person wants to be happy, other wants to be unhappy, third wants to be completely in a different state. All want to be happy. When they want to be happy, all the time. So they came to the conclusion, two things. One, we are ever-existing beings. We want to be happy all the time. So these two must be possible, but none of us recognize it. None of us in a lifetime will achieve that. neither immortality nor permanent happiness. So what is that which is stopping us to achieve this? They came to the conclusion, it's our mind. It is my individual mind which creates the obstruction between I and my immortal self. So that's where they devised a system to undo this misunderstanding of mind, to remove the obstruction of mind, so that you can see through the reality as is. Right now, between I and myself, my mind is the obstruction. My mind says, no, this is me. I am in a complete state of samadhi as I am being this body. Who tells me that? My mind tells me that. This is me. So, when they recognized that once you transcend this mind, you're in a different state of samadhi. This is what they call it Turiyavastha, fourth state of existence. I know three states of existence as waking, sleep and dream. I know I exist in all three, but I remain the same. Even though my existence in dream is completely different than my waking, in deep sleep, I'm not even aware that I exist. I still know I exist. There is a fourth state when I transcend my mind, which becomes the Turiyavastha, where I get established in my immortal self. Myself and yourself and his self and herself are not various selves, but I consider it to be the various selves. That self which is all-pervading, including my own self, is immortal self. Once I make a connection with that, my ultimate goal of achieving permanent happiness is achieved automatically. So, we learned from Bhagwan that how to live your life so that you can achieve that. Karmani eva adhikaraste. Just act in the present. Do not worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. So then Arjuna asked question, can a person achieve this? And once a person achieves that state of samadhi, equanimity of mind, how will he react? How will he behave in this world? Will he be completely different than you and I? And the answer is no. However, his internal workings will be different. And that will show in his behavior. So we have seen sthita prajnasya ka bhasa. It says, prajahati yada kaman sarvan manogatan. He will give up all the desires born out of mana, of mind, the ego. Now, our confusion is that he gives up all the desires. All it says is the desires born out of mind. Now, my mind right now tells me what? I am this infant. I am this limited being. And because I am this limited being, to become unlimited, I have to accomplish so many things. I have to achieve so many things so I can be happy. That creates desires. Once I have achieved everything, that I am the all-pervading self, there is nothing more to be achieved. So there are no manogatan desires. There are no desires to compete with you and compete with she and compete with her so that I can be over and above them. Now I am all one. I am now dealing with them as equal. Just as I become aware that I am Amitabh Bachchan, that doesn't let me give up my role as whatever the role I am playing. So because I have become one with that self, I do not give up all my duties of working with others. But my desire to compete, my desire to overpower will be gone. So prajahati yada kaman sarvan manogatan. So this description which we are seeing now says that once the mind is established in that immortal self, how a person will behave. So we have seen that dukhesu anudvigna manaha, sukhesu vigata spruhaha. They will not be moved by the dukkha, or they won't get attached to the sukha. That's because now he sees that as a passing events in his life. I'm playing a role, and whatever comes as part of that act 1, act 2, and act 3, I know it's going to pass. I'm still same Amitabh Bachchan. So his attitude towards the life and towards his vyavahar in this world will be different. Vitaraga bhayakrodaha sthitadhi muniyuchyate. He is without any raga, bhaya and krodha. And we have long discussion on attachment is because of I consider this me a limited being. This is what I like and I want to acquire. That's where the attachment comes. I and my BMW. You know, that's my attachment. You know. Then bhaya, what if it gets stolen? And then krodha. If I don't see it in a parking lot, I come out and I don't see it. So all these things are because I considered myself to be this limited being. And then we have said, yah sarvatra anabhisneha tattat prapya shubha shubham. Then shubha comes and asubha comes. I see this as the transaction in life. As we have seen the example, when we are playing with our little children, winning and losing doesn't mean anything. Playing is most important part. Once I play in this life also the same way, that winning and losing is not important, but living life is important. Then I will meet the subha and asubha in an appropriate manner. It does not mean that I always want to have asubha and not subha. But I know that the subha will also come to me and asubha will also come to me. And as they come, I have to deal with them appropriately. Na abhinandati na dvesti tasya pragna pratishtita. Who does not get too overwhelmed by joy or too depressed by sorrow, his intellect is steady. Now we all know that we have seen people like that in our life. Now we may not consider them siddha pragna. We think he is detached. But you do reach a point in your life that you are detached from things. Now we may be detached on only certain things, but Bhagavan said once you establish, you will be detached from everything like that. So you will deal with all of these events and happenings in your life as if you are a third party. We are watching a movie and all these romantic scenes are coming and tragic scenes are coming and then horrible scenes are coming. We enjoy, get afraid, what of that, but it's a third party and therefore it's enjoyable. If I can make my life watching is a third party, is a Sakshi Chaitanya, then it will be all enjoyable. We like to go and see tragic movies, right? Why? Why not only comedy? That's also an enjoyable part of life. If I see the tragedy in my life as a tragic movie, it will be wonderful. The Bhagavan said, one who establishes himself in that, he sees that as something which is coming and going, deal with it appropriately. Yada samharate cha ayam kurmo angani iva sarvasaha. Indriyani indriyarthebhyah tasya pragna pratishtita. This is where their very astute observation of mind and senses comes. They realize all this problem starts with my mind getting attached to things. And then I have these desires, and the desire creates actions. Actions creates results which are good or bad. Then it creates fear, then anger, and I'm not really going anywhere. And all this only happening because my senses are working. If my senses are not reporting back to me the world of objects, in the deep sleep, I'm not really afraid of where am I. I'm not even concerned about whether I'm sleeping in a multi-million dollar house or in a hut. In sleeping, I'm not even afraid of whether I'm an idiot completely or a very intelligent being. Because my senses are dormant. They are not reporting anything back to me. During waking state, the senses are reporting back to me this world of objects. And therefore, my mind gets confused. My mind goes out, attaches to the object. So therefore, he said, senses are the ones which I need to control. I need to control what I see, what I hear, what I touch, what I taste. I should have control over that so my mind does not carry me away from my sense of equanimity, who I am. So how one should do it? Yada samharate chayam kurmaha sarvangani sarvasaha. He say, I'll be very foolish if I want to meditate. Then I say, I want to go to strip bar and then meditate there. Well, that's not a right way to meditate. Or that's not a challenge I should give to myself. If I want to meditate, I want to be in a place which is more conducive for meditation. I say, no, everybody says, sab Bhagwan ka ghar hai, so why not meditate? No, it's not possible. Senses are very powerful. So you have to first start with this environment. You have to find an environment which is less threatening to you. We don't have a Gita class somewhere where people are threatening you. You know, non-threatened environment. Secondly, if I sense danger, I need to protect myself from that. So the example given is, just as a tortoise. Tortoise has very strong back, which can protect it from any danger. His weak parts are all the limbs which are coming out, four legs and a head. If he can protect those four legs and the head, he's protected. He's happily walking around, slowly but steadily, and he senses danger. Now, obviously, he can sense the danger from the vibration on the earth. He retracts all this and becomes dormant. These five senses are like those five limbs sticking out of the tortoise's shell. As long as tortoise is within the shell, it's protected. I am completely protected as long as I am established in my identity with the higher. This supreme being, in a sense that when I know that myself is not the limited self, but the all-pervading self, and just the body, mind, and intellect creates this ego, says this is me. As long as I'm in that, I'm completely protected. Nothing can affect me. But the senses goes out and tells me that's not the case. Now, that's you and this is me. When I sense any danger that my senses will create disturbance in my mind and takes away the happiness that I have, then I should withdraw my senses. So Bhagavan said, Indriyani indriyarthebhyaha tasya pragna pratishtida. As soon as I see the danger, then I should withdraw my senses. Swamiji says, a blind person, there is no danger of getting attracted to a beautiful woman. He can see. A deaf person cannot be distracted by noise or even a music. So if I take all the five senses, nothing can distract me. But I can't live like that. So I should use my senses for my best use. And when I sense danger, I should withdraw my senses. I used to be a regular smoker in my college days and long after that. So if I'm in a company of smokers, obviously that's a danger. So Meena constantly nagged me for quit. So best thing I could do is stay away from the people who are smoking. Because with them, it's a danger. So if I can withdraw myself from that, then only I can quit smoking. Indriyani indriyarthebhyaha tasya pragna pratishtida. The person who can withdraw his senses when he sees danger, his pragna is pratishtita, his intellect is established into the self. Vishaya vinivartante. All the verses now describing our mind and senses, and how they work. If we understand how they function and work, we can take advantage of it. That's the whole point here. If we understand how our mind works, and how our intellect works, and how our senses work, maybe we have a chance to manipulate them to my advantage. So the verses now gives a very detailed observation and description of what they understood, what a mind is all about. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina. First thing I have to do when I try to quit smoking is stay away from cigarette. But I can stay away from cigarette, I'm not smoking, but the longing. So the longing remains. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam. Objects stay away from the one who is avoiding those objects, but the longing remains. That's our problem. There is always a longing. Alcoholic Anonymous. You are trying to quit alcohol, but there is a desire to drink, to enjoy that. Therefore, you have to go to this AA and get even that out. Rasa apya asya param drashtva nivartate. But even that will go away, Bhagavan said. He's giving you assurance that longing also turns away on seeing the Supreme. When I see the higher goal, then my longing also for that lower will go away. And I'm a reformed smoker, so that I have complete understanding of how that works. For a while, there's a longing there, and you have a tendency to cheat. One guy asked the other guy and said, you know, it's very difficult to quit. I'm trying to quit cigarette. The other guy said, no, it's not that difficult. I've quit for about 10 times so far. There's always a tendency to cheat. But if you consistently practice that, you reach a point, you're not attracted to cigarette. Now, if there is a smoker near me, I get very upset. I have one smoker in my office, and I like to keep him away from me. Because that attachment to that is gone. Rasa apyasya param drashtva na nivartate. Once you see the higher, even this longing will go away. The higher you're seen is, my wife will be happy at least. I don't know about the health benefits, but she will not be nagging me. And then your health benefit. My friend who was a medical student, when we were students, I had some chest pain, so he did x-ray or something else. And he said, Neil, all your lungs are completely gray with smoke in it. But don't worry about it. That's every smoker's lung is look like that. And now they say after you stop smoking for a long time, your lungs go back to its normal state of what it should look like. So once you have seen the higher, the longing will go away too for the objects. It says, yatato hi api kaunteya purusasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. Do not underestimate the power of your senses. Even for a wise man, the senses can take away his mind away from his goal. When I was a student, I want to study hard, want to do a good job. Tomorrow is the exam, but somebody comes and says, Neil, this movie, it's only there for today, and then after it's going away, and you won't be able to go and see it. And we can go at 9 to 12, you can come back after 12 o'clock and read. Well, you have plenty of time. I say, okay. Indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. Even though I have decided that this is the goal of my life, but if I'm not careful and put myself into a situation, my senses will take away that determination, that equanimity of my mind. Yatato hi bhi, even though you're striving, the senses are so powerful that it will take away your equanimity. Therefore, do not underestimate your senses. Always be like that tortoise, to be always on lookout for where the danger is. As soon as you sense any danger, retract your senses. Move yourself away from that danger. I'll tell you the last example. We'll stop here. You know, in the Ramayana, there's a story about Rama killing Vali by hiding behind the tree, and there was a lot of criticism. Swamiji explains that why Vali represents lust. Even Rama cannot face the lust face to face. He has to hide behind. Because Vali had the boon that whoever faces him, he takes half his strength. The lust has the strength. Whoever faces that object will take away half his mental capacity. Therefore, you have to hide behind the tree and then kill the lust. The Vali can only be killed if you stay away from him. Bhagavan says, as soon as you see the danger, retract your senses and then fight your battle. With that, we'll stop.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.